Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Tom Evans, president of the Florida Flight Instructor Association and FAST Team lead representative from Tampa, Florida, who is today's host.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Rooftop Studios. My name's Tom Evans. We're at the FAA Production Studios, Lakeland, Florida, for 2010 Sun and Fun. And with me, a very popular guest. Our guests are seen worldwide. We're delighted to have Martha King. Martha, glad to have you.
Oh, it's a delight to be here, Tom. Thank you.
And John King. John?
And I see I'm taking second place behind Martha. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I'm not that dumb. Martha, you decided to bring him this time, huh?
Yeah, he's a good co-pilot.
He's fantastic. And we determined a couple years ago the best pilot was the one flying the airplane.
At the moment, yeah.
At the moment. Exactly. Martha, it is just incredible that you two have achieved so much in your certifications. How many certifications have you accumulated approximately?
Well, we each have the all seven flight instructor certifications, and then I'd have to count. I think it's 13, I think I'd have to count. We have every category and class of FAA certificate on our pilot certificate, and then the seven flight instructor certificates.
Which was the funnest that you could have had to achieve?
You know, every one of them's fun because every one of them taught us a great deal about just the whole experience of aviation, taught us about different aircraft between the hot air balloons, the airships, the helicopters, the seaplanes, taught us about different aerodynamics, different microclimates, and different ways of seeing the world. Every one of them was fun.
And John, it's your turn now, John.
Oh, good.
We'll
thanks,
work with
John.
Your success with you and Martha just working at the helm did not come overnight. You've put a lot of work in your business. And there are people out there that talk about the way that you've structured it, implemented it, and you just owe your success for just a lot of perseverance, diligence, and just focus.
I love the way you talk, Tom, but I would call it our good fortune rather than our success. And it's we've just been fortunate that we can pursue something we care so deeply about and make a living at it and have actually people listening to us. It's remarkable. We love aviation, and more particularly, we like the people who fly. You know, flying self-selects people who are willing to make an enormous commitment. And we in aviation in the past, I think, have sometimes made a mistake by minimizing the amount of commitment. And people who aren't willing to put the effort into it shouldn't fly. And there is an enormous amount of commitment. It takes a prolonged period of time to learn to fly. And during that period when you're learning to fly, everyone says to themselves, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do this. This is pretty tough stuff. And your right leg shakes, you sweat all the way down to your belt and beyond.
Been there.
And you'd think you'll never learn to land the airplane. I still feel that way about it. And you have to be evaluated. You have to take a knowledge test, and you have to take a practical test. So the people that put themselves up for that are really special people. And so as soon as you find that someone is a pilot, you know a tremendous amount about them. You know that they've been willing to do all of this. You've got that shared experience, and you know that they're achievers. They're movers and shakers in their own community. So what a privilege it's been to play a role in the lives of these wonderful people.
Fantastic. And Martha, safety is the number one issue, isn't it, playing in the lives of these individuals?
Safety definitely is. In general aviation, as you well know, Tom, we've not had as good an accident record as we need to have. There is a lot that can be done to improve it, primarily through education and training. And we, pilots in general aviation, need to think more, not just about physical skills in flying the airplane, which of course we all need, but we need to think beyond that into good risk management of each flight. What's the condition of the pilot? How is the aircraft suited for this mission? What environment are you going to be operating that flight in? And perhaps the most important, what external pressures are going to push on you during the flight, and how are you going to proactively manage those pressures in advance so that they don't push you to do things that in the back of your mind, you know, you really ought not to be doing.
Yes, sir. And John, how would you continue that idea, concept?
Well, continue Martha's thought? Well,
yes.
I guess I can do that. Well, you know, sometimes we see a pilot, and these are wonderful, achieving people, the people we talked about earlier, and they do a flight where the risks just keep mounting and mounting and mounting. They might have a rough-running engine. They might have poor weather conditions, and they keep on going. And we wonder, why is that? And I tell you, the reason is that we've self-selected in aviation. We self-select people who are hardwired to finish what they start. They're goal-oriented people. They are achievers. And that's a wonderful, wonderful characteristic in life. It can be a risk factor in aviation. I think the biggest thing that causes pilots to come to grief is they press on when they shouldn't. And you have to ask, what's going on? You know, you see that sometimes these articles about pilots who had accidents, you think, what in the world was going on in this guy's mind? What was going on is that they're hardwired to finish what they start. They're goal-oriented. So that is a risk factor for we wonderful achieving people in aviation, and we need to consider that as one of those risk factors that Martha was talking about. What's going on in a pilot's mind, and why are they continuing? So what we need to do is develop strategies in advance so that we don't allow our own achievement orientation make us press on when we shouldn't.
So, Martha, then we can really manage risk, can't we?
Yes, we just have to be proactive and think about it. You know, one of the things that John and I have observed over the years is that when flight instructors train new students, they will train them minutely into the detail on how to physically pre-flight an airplane, looking at aileron hinges, elevator hinges, examining every bit of the fuselage to make sure there's no dents and no problems and anything like that. And that's important, but they, in the past, have spent almost no time in teaching the student how to pre-flight the pilot and the flight itself on what are the risks and hazards on this flight, because there are. Anytime you get up into the air in a mechanized vehicle, there is a risk, and almost no time in the past has been spent educating and training new pilots on how to pre-flight for that risk in the same way that they physically pre-flight the airplane itself.
And we hear a lot about the chain of events that lead to an accident. Do you subscribe to that?
Oh, yeah. You know, almost always it's an accumulation of things going wrong. No one thing generally causes an accident. But at any given point, the pilot has an opportunity to recognize that that's happening. So, you know, as soon as you get in the air in an airplane, regardless of how you planned that trip and how you identified the risk factors involved in that trip and developed a strategy to manage them, as soon as you get in the air, everything changes. Flying is dynamic. You're flying a changing airplane. Because its weight is getting less, the fuel is getting less, over a varied environment, and you're with a pilot who's becoming more fatigued as time goes on, and a pilot who feels more sense of urgency as the trip progresses. So all of these things changes. So what we suggest that pilots do is when you get in the airport, airplane, think about what is changing and what are the consequences of those changes, and what does that have, what effect are they having on your alternatives right now, and don't get into denial mode. You know, the reason people don't break this chain of things happening that cause an accident is they get in denial. They deny that they're doing that because they want to complete their flight. And so don't get into denial. We say deal with reality, deal with things as they really are, not as you just planned them to be, and manage your own goal-oriented tendency to try and continue that flight even when you shouldn't. Mm.
And Martha, we can use simulators now, can't we? They're becoming cost-effective for the general aviation to use those. What do you know about the simulators now that are available on the market?
Well, there's fantastic new technology, particularly coming from Redbird simulators. Redbird simulators has a couple of simulators that we find just fascinating. One is a full motion simulator for a price range of around $70,000. It's all electric. It fits in a standard office, does not have any hydraulics, runs on a standard 110 electrical outlet. And the wonderful thing about that is it now puts a full motion simulator within the price range of pretty much any flight school. But the other thing for individual pilots is Redbird also has a table mount simulator that is in the $7,000 price range. And that is a fantastic simulator. It emulates the G1000 glass cockpit, or it can emulate the regular six-pack as far as standard instrument gauges are concerned. And in fact, people could go by the King booth in Hangar C here and take a look at it. We have one of those in our booth. But what those simulators allow pilots to do is to stay proficient when the weather or other external factors make it impractical to actually be up in an airplane.
Mm-hmm. John, Martha said booth C.
Yes.
C? Okay. Yeah. We wanted to get that out.
She did good on it.
We have just a few minutes here. Although that we're going to be switching down to the main program, we're going to stay up here for the interview. And I'm sorry you can't be with us. But, John, those that are looking on, what would you like to leave, the message that you would like to leave with the individuals here on safety and general aviation?
Well, the biggest thing I would say is that we have a lot more tools at our disposal. We've had a revolution, just a flowering of opportunity now to manage risks and do a good job. First of all, the FAA is sponsoring DUET and DUETs. We can get wonderful weather briefings online anytime, just instantly, and go back and recheck the weather and look at graphs of the weather and so on. So we have much more information now than we used to have. And in the cockpit, my goodness, we have terrain avoidance, we have moving maps, we have now synthetic vision. The Cessna's new Skycatcher is coming out with synthetic vision, my goodness. We have things in our cockpits now that airliners couldn't afford 15 years ago. And we have terrain, train information, traffic information, moving maps, weather information in the cockpit. As soon as you get in the cockpit, you have better weather information than they have in the flight service stations 10 years ago. So we have a lot of tools at our disposal. My recommendation is let's use those tools. We can make a huge improvement in how we're doing as far as risk management and aviation. Now's the time to do it.
Martha, in a sentence or two, your thoughts, please.
Like John says, I think we have a lot of tools available at our disposal now, technology. General aviation pilots are very, very special people. We've come to know a lot of them over the years. They are great people. Many of them are good friends, and we want them to do well and be well. Regarding the Redbird simulators, it's just we are so excited about the ability with this technology to put good training and good practice into the hands of pilots and flight schools. And you know, the military has been using simulation and the airlines have been using simulation for a long, long time. It just hasn't been cost-effective for general aviation pilots. Well, it now is, and I'm very excited about the potential for that to make a significant impact on the general aviation accident rate.
And John, as a CFI, you're a very astute man. I can see that just talking with you.
I'll give you an hour to quit talking that way, Tom.
She's raised you. She's done a good job. John, as a CFI that's just starting out, what would you recommend that they really, the emphasis, the FAA talks about their special emphasis program, but and the safety factor.
Right.
But what would you suggest to a newly minted CFI that's out there?
Well, in the past, we focused, Tom, on producing good, proficient pilots, people who had good physical skills. And I think we can do a better job than we've done in the past. What we want to practice now is teaching pilots who are good risk managers, pilots who are truly, truly ready to be pilot in command. And in order to do that, we have to teach pilots who can identify the risks. And many times, pilots who have gotten themselves into trouble were the most surprised people in the world because they didn't see it coming. And so we need to train pilots, as Martha says, who pre-flight for the risks that they're about to engage in. And we say, well, it's not a risky activity. Well, that it is a risky activity. We need to figure out, we don't want to get caught by surprise for these risks, a strategy to manage those risks. And we you know, we talk about decision-making, and decision-making kind of implies to me that you get to the point where you have to go left or right and you make a decision. Well, what we want is pilots who anticipate that point and are way ahead of that point. So what we want to do now, and we have the tools to do this, is to teach pilots who are really ready to be pilot in command and everything that involves.
Martha, in other words, the mind should be there before we ever reach that point.
The mind should be there long before we ever actually get in the airplane. And one of the things that we're very excited about that we think will be a big stride forward as far as doing that is the new online course that we just produced for Cessna Aircraft Company for the sport and private pilot licenses.
Will you tell us about that, Martha?
Yes. We went online, Cessna went online with that last September, and Cessna, as you probably know, has about 300 flight schools around the country, and this is the curriculum that they're now using, and it's an online program where a student can study from any computer anywhere, so they're not tied down to any one location, and they can study when they're on trips and really stay up with their course of study. But the huge advantage of this is that it is scenario-based training. And by scenario-based training, what we mean is the instructor and the student don't go up for a flight lesson where today we're going to do maneuver A, B, and C. What they do is they go up for a flight in which they have a purpose, they have risk factors, either real or simulated, and there's plenty of real ones, although the flight school will throw in some simulated ones also. There will be planned malfunctions, planned deviations, and the discussion before they ever get in the airplane between the CFI and the student will be all about, okay, here's the flight you're planning, here's your risk factors, here's your purpose. What are you going to do? What are you going to think about to proactively manage and mitigate those risks? And that happens with the very first flight that they do. So from day one, they are trained to think on every flight before they are allowed to get in the airplane, what are my potential risks? What am I going to do about them? And that is going to give us pilots who are truly capable, as John said, of being pilot in command.
Scenario base is long overdue, John, wouldn't you say?
Well, we've been practicing it in a haphazard sort of way, and there's a big contrast between how, say, flight training is done in the rest of the world and how we're doing it in the United States and how we're going to do it. We have a friend who owns a flight school to train flight instructors in England. And she was telling us that American flight instructors who go to England to learn to be flight instructors in England don't know anything. And I hold it, what do you mean they don't know anything? And she says, well, let me give you an example. They don't know how to do a flap demonstration. And I'm going, well, you got me there, because I don't know how to do a flap demonstration. Because we would, in the United States, teach how to use flaps in the context of how you're going to use them. You might say to a student, I see you're getting a little high. This is a good time to put some flaps down, because flaps increase drag and will give you a steeper rate and angle of descent without an increase in airspeed. So you would demonstrate that and show them, okay, here's how you would use it. One of the problems, if you don't do scenario-based training, is you're taking the use of all of these skills and tools you're learning out of the context of how you'll use them. So you'll now have to go back and tell them, okay, you learned this skill, here's where it applies. So what we're hoping people do is understand risk management, understand the whole process in the context that they're going to use it, and therefore do a better job of managing that flight.
Thank you. I see the weather is coming in on us, and I just want to say thank you so much, Martha, for being here.
It's a delight to be here every year, Tom. Thank you for inviting us.
And thank you, John King.
Yeah, you bring out the best in this.
You're great. And this concludes the rooftop on this part of the tape, and we appreciate you tuning in, Tom Evans, and we appreciate what all the volunteers do here at the FAA Production Studios, and the director, Mr. Obie Young.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.